Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah. Have you ever loved somebody? The way God loves somebody. And He loves you.
Good evening, and thank you for tuning in to There's Nothing New Under the Sun. This is yours truly, Pastor Steve. We are in the Sanctuary Studio in Forestville, Maryland. I'd like to wish everyone a happy Thursday, and truly this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall and we will rejoice and be glad in it. I believe I have on the line with me tonight my big sister, Sheila G. Sheila G., you're on the line tonight?
Yes, I am.
Praise God. And my good friend and mentor, Dr. G, you on the line tonight?
Yes, I am.
Praise God. I'm glad we can get together on another Thursday night. I know on last Thursday we weren't able to get together. Had to get ready to go take care of some things at work. But thank God we're able to get back together tonight. So we're going to open up with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, it's in Jesus' name that we humbly bow, God, and thank you for another privilege, another opportunity to get together and study your word. And Father, we pray that you will bless us, that we will be able to study to show ourselves approved unto you, that we can be workmen that need not be ashamed, but rightly dividing your word of truth. Bless us, God, that we will be able to apply this word to our lives, share it with others. And as always, God, we pray that this will be done to your glory. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, amen.
Shuji, in the 12th chapter of the book of Acts, and it starts off with the a miracle escape from prison by Peter.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that we had talked about was how prayer unlocks the power of God, and how during the struggle for power, King Herod would go back and forth between the Jews and the Roman government authorities, and he would play one against the other so that he could remain in power. And he had recently killed John. He had killed James, I'm sorry, and he beheaded him, and now he was coming after Peter. And we see that in verses 1 and 2. So I just want to pop back to Acts 12, verses 1 and 2, and it says, I'll be reading the NIV, it was about this time that King Herod arrested some who belonged to the church, intending to persecute them. He had James, the brother of John, put to death with a sword. And in verse 3, he said, when he saw that this met with approval among the Jews, he proceeded to seize Peter also. This happened during the festival of unleavened bread. After arresting him, he put him in prison, handing him over to the guard by four squads of four soldiers each. Herod intended to bring him out trial after the Passover. But we left off on verse 5, last time we were together, and verse 5 says, so Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. And so this political and religious, I call him a pain in the butt, King Herod, if I can say that, Sheila G.
Yes, you can. It's the truth.
He didn't care about anybody but himself.
Right.
And, you know, he didn't care about the Romans. He didn't care about the Jews. He just wanted to stay in power, and so he would pit them against each other so he could stay in power. And he had just beheaded John.
Mm-hmm.
And now he saw that the Jews liked that because they didn't want to hear anything about Christianity.
Right, they didn't want to hear
about
Christ.
And so he said, well, if I can get away with it with John, maybe I can get away with it with Peter. And so he's going to have this great big spectacle, you know, after the Feast of Unleavened Bread where they celebrate the Passover. She said, I'm not going to get in any trouble with them.
Right.
Because if I do it at Passover, they're going to come at me. So I'm going to wait till after the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and then we're going to go after it. We're going to push the envelope, and we're going to go after Peter.
Right.
And it's a thing of, you know, you have these what was the word I used for earlier, Sheila?
I didn't
cuss.
No, you say he's a pain in the butt. The politician.
Pain in the butt, yes. He's a pain in the butt. You have these pain in the butts that come into power and they don't care about anybody, but they have devastating effect on people, even to the point where people lose their lives.
Right.
And you know, it's you know, we say there's nothing new under the sun.
Yeah.
You know, the same pain in the butt people that were in charge back then are under the same vein, the same pain in the butt people that are in power today. Sheila G.
Amen. I was thinking about how you always talk about the pride of life. So they got the Herod is like all about himself, all about what can make a difference from him. It's not so much that he believed in what the Jews were saying, as far as the Jews were did not trust and did not believe in Christ. So anyone that was preaching Christ from a religious standpoint, they were looking at it that way. But his was all about pride, about me, about ego. Well, if I can please them, it's not so much I believe in what their God is, and I don't even care about, you know, Christ, the mission for Christ either. I just care about me, whoever I can use at the moment that I can please the most, so I can stay in power.
And it's crazy, but those same type of actors are in society today. It's like truly there's nothing new under the sun, Dr. G.
Well, while you were talking, I was sitting there. My mind went definitely to where we are today. You've got a Herod in power, and you know, using the religious, or either he's trying now, but the politicians, you know, basically doing the same thing. They got their own agenda. They really don't care about the people. Two-faced, hypocrites. None of it really matter about the people. People are still hungry, can't pay the bills, but they don't want to do anything. They're going to wait until after a certain point. So there is nothing new.
Amen.
Amen. And it's the political leaders, like the Romans and the They're like the politicians that don't care, and then you got the Jews, the religious leaders. They don't care, you know. They pick and choose what they want,
and
you see the people are the ones that are dying, and this is what's going on in this story right here in chapter 12, the first century church. You have pain in the butt leaders that don't care anything else but about themselves, and people are dying. People are
right.
dying. And so John, the brother of James, is dying, has been executed, and now they're coming after Peter. And if they can get away with it with Peter, who knows what they're going to, what's to stop them?
Right.
You know, and what happens is when people allow this to happen, people in the political arena, people in the religious arena that play politics and play religion,
mm-hmm.
and what they do is they push it and push it and push it to see what they can get away with at
right.
the expense of the people, and then people lose faith in religion and politics, and then you know they pit one against the other, and you end up with a situation that's untenable for the people to be able to live and prosper with their leaders, because their leaders are so corrupt, and it takes God to
mm.
intervene to in order to straighten it out. And so like back then, as with today, it's going to take God working through his church
right.
to be able to intervene so that people won't get killed, people won't get slaughtered, people that won't that they would have a religion and have politicians that care about them and that would be looking out for their best interests. But people have to understand that only God can change people's hearts where
mm-hmm.
they would want to have the right relationship with God and with each other. Otherwise, they're just going to be these pain-in-the-butt leaders that cycle through this. And I don't care what religious party you are, what political party you are, if the people's hearts aren't right,
right.
they won't care about the people. Sheila Jean.
Amen. That's why verse 5 is so important, and it really stands out. So Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying
mm-hmm.
to God for him. And it's important to see that, because the church has a role, and we have to have that active role so
Amen.
God
Amen.
Having that active role, you'll see in the next chapters how God is going to get the glory. But it's important to recognize
mm-hmm.
that the church is praying for them, so that those that aren't following Christ, those that are being selfish, those that are about the politician or the politics or the power, can see that they have no power because God elevated
mm-hmm.
speak in spite of them.
Amen, amen. And that's why it's important for us to realize this thing about prayer is not just for us, but it's for the body of Christ. It's for those that are around us. And I think sometimes we miss the mark when we're just praying for ourselves. That's not to say that we should pray for ourselves, but we should be a church that prays without ceasing. Praying earnestly is the NIV. And in the King James, it says, Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And so the thing is for the church to realize, like you said, Sheila G, their important role in the events that happen in this earth and being able to unleash the power of God in the earth so that men would come to know that there is a God that loves them, that cares for them, that has died for them, that is willing to forgive them if they ask for forgiveness and to change their hearts so they can have a proper relationship with God and mankind. But the church has to understand God gave gifts to the church to play roles like this. And when the church plays the role of a praying church without ceasing, the power of God is unleashed. God moves through the power of his spirit. God allows angels to and people to be used in situations to be able to turn dire situations around for the good of the people and ultimately to give him glory. But it's something that the church has to understand. We have to work at, you know, it's giving gifts for the work of the ministry. And I think sometimes, Dr. G, the church comes up short with the work. We don't. We want to have all the blessings, but we don't want to do the work. And James says, "Faith without works is dead." And so sometimes people say, oh, "I have But, you know, James said, show me your faith and I'm going to show you your works. You know, show me your works and you show your faith. They go hand in hand. But the church doesn't want to do the work of praying without ceasing. Dr. G.
Well, you're right. And, you know, I was sitting there thinking about how, you know, we live in a day and time where basically people are lazy. Huh. They don't want to do the work.
Mm-hmm.
Folk believe in prayer. I tell folk at New Birth all the time, look, I'm praying daily. I'm praying, Lord,
mm-hmm.
deliver us from this evil because he's the only one that can. And, you know, I'm asking the church to keep folk in prayer, pray for the country, pray that God
mm-hmm.
would do his thing. You know, you ain't got to tell the Lord what to do, but until the church understands, you know, we do have a part to play. And, you know, we enjoy the blessings, but Christians
yes.
are some of the craziest folk around. You know, they want the pat on the back. They want to be called by the title. When it comes to doing the work, half of the time you can't find them.
Lord have mercy. But God gave gifts to the church for the work of the ministry.
Yeah.
And somewhere along the line, I think we think that word is a bad word. work. But these folks were putting in the work. They were putting in the work. They understood that they were powerless by themselves.
All right.
They understood that the power was belonged to God, and God had the power to be able to bring them through. And so their work was to put in the work of praying without ceasing. They didn't have these big church buildings, but they had the ability
right.
to get together and understood where they were two or three were gathered in,
mm-hmm.
in God's name, touching and agreeing on one accord, that God was in the midst. And when God saw their faith, he honored their faith,
right.
and he allowed his power to be seen in the earth so there would be no mistake at all, that it was God and not man that did these type of things.
Right.
Sheila G.
Amen, amen. And the thing is why we're in the situation that we're in today is because we, and I mean the collective we, have lost our focus.
Yeah.
And if you look at this scripture, with them praying without ceasing or earnestly praying, the focus was on God's mission.
Oh, wow.
And what has happened over the years is we've lost that focus. The focus has been on ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
The focus has been on what, like you said, what we can get out of it, me, what, you know, then there's the competition of who's better and who's not. It's money, it's idols. It's, so the focus was on everything, and that's how Satan's snopping here, and everybody's going every which way, but we weren't on one accord, regardless of denomination or what, to say in God we trust. I mean, in our money, it says in God we trust, but people were trusting more the money, the love of the money, than truly trusting in God. So God had to shut it down, everything down, to let them know, you may think you're powerful, you may think you're all that, because you've lost your focus, because Easter was no longer a big day for you, because when Christmas came along, it's you celebrated, fine if you didn't. It was all about commercial. It was all about Black Friday and getting them going. Now, you can't go to Black Friday because of what's going on. And it was all commercialized. And we lost out as a people in general, we lost our first love. And when you're looking here at this scripture, the focus was on earnestly praying for Peter so that God's mission could go forward and God could get the glory out of it, in contrast to Herod and the Jews wanting to have that people power.
Amen, amen. And Dr. G, even before the Holy Spirit birthed the church, if you go back to the Old Testament, when God sent the prophets and he sent the judges, in Second Chronicles 7th chapter, in verse 14, when the people were getting ready to go into the temple and Solomon was taken over as king, he realized the people didn't have any act right, and didn't have any get right, and they would have errors. And so he prayed. He didn't pray for riches.
Nope.
He didn't pray that he would be wealthy, but he prayed for wisdom to be able to govern the people. And you have leaders that pray for wisdom. You have people in authority that are not going to be self-centered. Then God can use them, and God will give them wisdom. And so what Solomon prayed, he asked God, in that very famous request for God. And then God repeated his prayer back to him. And he told him, if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves
and pray.
Amen. Seek and pray. Seek my face and pray. And turn from their wicked ways. He said, then I will hear from heaven, forgive them their sins, and heal their land. And so that was what Solomon prayed for, and that's what God said, I'm going to answer your prayer. If this is what happens, this is how I'm going to respond. This is so powerful in the life of believers, people of faith, to understand when you humble your heart before God and you ask God not for things, riches, and stuff of this vain riches, but for his wisdom and his guidance, God will honor that, and he spoke it back. Those same words that Solomon asked, God spoke it right back to them, and he said, this is what will happen. And I believe that today, if the church would pray, would humble themselves and pray, and if
Amen.
They would not ask for the wrong things, but ask for the things of God, that those prayers would be answered, just like God, just like Solomon answered God's prayer, just like Solomon prayed for it. He'll answer our prayer just like we would pray for it, Dr. G.
Well, I agree with you. And it's interesting the way Sheila was saying, you know, God had to pretty much shut everything down because mankind had moved away from worshiping the Lord. Everything was about power or money or position. You know, even the politicians, they do everything to help the rich, while the little man and the poor man continue to suffer. And so here we are in the midst of all that we're going through. And in this country, you see what the politicians are doing. They're more concerned about the Supreme Court nominee than trying to help people who need help. And again, it's that, you know, that the focus, people's focus are moved away from their first love. And the church is a big part of that, because all those evangelicals voted for the wrong person for the wrong reason. And here we are in the situation that we are now. And so, you know, we're looking for vaccines to help cure the COVID, but we still don't. God is just looking for us to humble ourselves, get back to where we need to be, and pray. Because then he says, then I will heal the land. Not before that. And people don't seem to get that. Now, they'll complain about what they don't have, but everything that we need is right there in that verse.
Amen. And that's what has been the constant to the formula for God's people's success. It's humbling yourself and pray.
Right.
Getting ourselves in line with God and in tune with God and realizing that he is the creator, we are the creation, and
that's
that
right.
we need to honor him as that. And to realize that God knows what's best for us, and we got to put the work in. And so I'm glad for the church. I'm glad for God's people in the Old Testament that prayed for those that prayed for wisdom. And then God said, "I'm gonna honor that. You didn't ask for riches. You didn't ask for longevity of life. But you asked for wisdom. You know, God gave them a blank check." He gave him a blank check, and he said, "I'm not, I'm not asking for means. I'm not asking for longevity of life. I'm just want wisdom to be able to govern these people. And if these people act up, Lord have mercy. He says, if your people act up, we humble ourselves and pray and seek your face.
Yes.
You know, forgive us our sins and heal our land. And God said, you got it, buddy, because your heart is right and you understand what the will of God is, and that's exactly what I'll do. Where's the church today, Sheila G? Where are we at today? We want miracles. We need a miracle right now. I mean, we need a healing of families. We need healing of our children. We need healing, spiritual healing, all over this world. And there's a virus that don't care how much money you make, how much money you make. It doesn't care where you live. It doesn't care your socioeconomic status. It don't care what religion you are. It doesn't care what political aspirations you are. That joker is just going to come and do what it's going to do, what it's designed to do.
That's right.
And you can pretend like it's not there or not. But with the numbers all over the world of people getting sick and dying, we need to get to that Second Chronicles 7:14 in a hurry so that God can perform this miracle to be able to provide people with the knowledge, doctors and epidemiologists, those that are infectious disease, to be able to come up with a vaccine. But if God doesn't want them to be able to come up with something, people are going to continue to suffer. It's in God's hands. So we are in a perilous times, and the church needs to pray that God would intervene like he intervened for Peter by sending his angel, and his angel took Peter step by step by step.
That's right.
To deliver him from prison. But the church believed, Peter believed, and because the church believed and Peter believed, he was able to be delivered. Now, my question is today, Sheila G, does the church believe, do we believe that God is able to deliver? And that's my question. Do we believe that? Do we believe in doing it God's way so that we can be delivered from the pain in the butt leaders, oh my gosh, that are adamant that they're going to do it their way and not God's way?
Not God's way. Amen, amen. That is truly the question. And in the scripture, like both 5 and 6, it's a faith walk. It is a matter of believing, because even with this virus, you can't see it, but you know it's there.
Amen.
So that's a contrast to the faith. Your faith is things hoped for, the things that you can't see. But it's just like this virus. You can't see it, but you know it'll make you sick. Well, okay, do you have that same faith in God? You can't see it, but you can hope for it and trust in it. And that's why they were delivered in this situation, because they earnestly prayed. They put what they wanted aside, and they had the intercessory prayer while he was praying. They just saw how Herod, the political person, murdered somewhat persecuted James. They could have done, and they could have said, oh, you know what, I'm scared of him. But even though the Jews, it seems like they're winning. But they aren't looking at man. They're like, you know what, my God is more powerful than any man or anything you could do. So I can either trust in the man's weakly power, or I can trust in God. And that's what they're doing here, is trusting in God. Because if they hadn't prayed and Peter hadn't trusted in God, he wouldn't have recognized when that angel came in the next chapter and get up. Because he would have been so focused on what was happening in that situation. And that's why the church is falling short, because they're looking at this mess. And either they're completely ignoring because they, you know, I saw on the Word Channel where this bishop is, for a seed of $100, he'll send you a prayer cloth.
Oh my
gosh!
And
so that's praying on the weak. That's praying on the weak for your own selfish gain. Instead of saying, if you're feeling bad, dial in, call in, and we will pray for you. So, again, even within the church, it's still got this greed, this me thing, instead of saying, I'm going to trust in the Lord, and if I put my faith in the Lord and I show God that I'm trusting him, I will be delivered. And however that deliverance comes, I'm good with that, and I can have peace of mind that all the mess could be falling around from me, but it's not as powerful as God. And so they trusted in the power of God, prayed regardless of the situation, and they were delivered. They just trusted and believed that they were going to be delivered because, like you said, Peter was in their sleep. You know, it's like he was. So it was obvious he wasn't too stressed because here he just saw John being killed for trusting in Christ. That it looked like they had a victory. They went into prayer, and he went into the prison.
Come
and said,
on,
okay, went to sleep and said, God's going to handle it. God handled it.
Amen. Amen. And God showed him. He said, okay, I want to see where y'all are, church. I want to see where you're at. John got beheaded. John's killed. Is this the wake-up call? Y'all going to ignore this? Y'all going to fold your tent up and run? And what you gonna do? It's gonna be Peter next. Then who else is it gonna be? When y'all gonna make a stand? When is enough gonna be enough? You know, what are y'all gonna do? And the church took a stand. They took a spiritual stand in spiritual warfare. When God said He put on that whole armor that you'll be able to stand, because you can stand in the evil day, because we wrestle not against against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against spiritual wickedness in high places. He said, therefore, take unto you the whole armor of God that you can stand. And one of the key parts of the armor is prayer. And you've got to pray with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And when the church gets challenged like this, it's not, Dr. G, it's not time to tuck tail and run. It's time to get down on your knees. It's time to sit on your butt. It's time to, when your knees get tired, sit on your butt and pray. It's time to get engaged in the spiritual warfare. But it's too many folks tucking tail and running, and we need to stop it. We need to stop it, and we need to get busy doing the work of God, because we see folk dying. We see folk getting killed. We see folk that are in authority, that are in power, they don't care nothing about people. Dr. Lee.
Well, you're right. And, you know, last night on the prayer line, I told them at the end that even within this pandemic, we need to still be growing in the body of Christ. Then granted, you know, one thing that this disease has shown folk, or rather showing those that are for real. Those that aren't, they don't call in, you don't hear from them, unless something has happened where they need counseling, they need prayer. And it's a shame that people just don't get it. You know, folk are taking this time to stay in bed on Sundays, or you got somebody doing a little bit of this and a little bit of that, but their focus is not on God. And, you know, I commend the ones that are calling in every Sunday, those give what they can, you know, and I thank God for that. But, you know, I'm trying to help folk to understand that the way we're going to deal with this, and the way the church has got to be, we've got to still be about focusing on God. We got to bring God back into the picture of it. And don't let, you know, the enemy bring us down because we don't have the job, don't have the money. You know, look, later for all that, God can still deal with anything, but He wants to check. He wants to see where we are. You know, we've already said, you know, if my people, God says my people would humble themselves. Mm-hmm. Number one, we're still too proud.
Yeah.
Still got too much, you know, about us.
Yeah.
You know, to lose some of that junk, come down, get on bended knees, and become humble and pray to the one who is able to take care.
My Lord.
Then you got some out there that are still trying to con folk, trying to con the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they called in, but then when you look for them, they're not really there. I mean, this pandemic is just showing folk up, and the devil is running amok within the church.
Mm-hmm.
And until people understand that God is the only one that can put us back. You know, everybody tell me, well, I'll be glad when we get back in the building. Look, I don't care if we go back or not. I'm concerned where they are, showing God that they're for real. And I hate to say it, but it is going to take some more of not having meals, not being able to pay bills, before folk are going to get it. And then when it starts knocking some of them big boys down, then they will understand.
Amen. Amen. And so when we see the faith of the church, the individuals humble and seeking God's face, then you begin to start seeing the power of God. And Hebrews, I think it's the 13th chapter, verse 2, where it talks about be hospitable. Hebrews 13:2 says, do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing so, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. That's the NIV. And then in the King James, it says, be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. And many times people have attitudes toward strangers. They are harsh with them. They cut them off. They if you don't agree with them, or if they're a different race or a different color or a different political background, or, you know, it's a neighbor that looks one way or says one thing, or any kind of way. But these might be the people, Lord have mercy, that God has, or not people, but these might be the angels that have manifested themselves as people that might work on for your deliverance.
Right.
And so God says, be careful to show hospitality to strangers. In other words, don't be so nasty. Don't be so quick to judge. Don't be so quick to turn your nose up to somebody, look down on somebody, because that same person that might be stinking or smelling in the alley, Lord have mercy, that ask your brother, do you got some spare change? You might not have it, but you don't have to be nasty and tell him you don't have it, because God sends angels into our earthly realm to unleash his power, and we're not aware of. Sometimes we're not aware of. And I've experienced this one time in my life that I can remember, and I'm sure it's been other times. But it was I was in the middle of nowhere where my kids were real young, and my wife and I, we were in a used vehicle, and the vehicle just broke down in the middle of nowhere. And a person came from nowhere, white guy, came from nowhere, said, can I help you? Can I drive you to the place where you can get help and you can get your vehicle fixed? And we were able to go to a place. Guy came, towed the vehicle, did something to the vehicle that allowed us to get back home, and didn't charge us a dime. I don't know where that guy went. I don't know where. I can't even remember where his name was. But I know that was an angel sent to help me and my family. Yeah. Amen. And it was a white guy. Amen. In the middle of, I don't know where it was. Amen. But can you imagine if I would have had an attitude? I am a white guy, but they might try to come and they might try to do something to me and my family. But we got in his car. Come on now, Sheila.
Yeah. Amen. Yes, he will.
Amen. And he took us to safety, amen, and never said anything, just disappeared out there. Didn't know where it was. Could never say anything to be able to bring him up. I don't know where he is, what he did, but that was a stranger, amen, that blessed us to be able to get out of that situation, C.O.G.
Amen. And there's been situations where you know it was nobody but God. Dire situations that somebody has come across your path right at the right time that just helped you, and they just went on about their business. And you're just like, okay, well, thank you, Lord. And you know it was God, because there have been many situations where we've been in, and a lot of times it's our own fault, where we put ourselves in danger. And something, somehow, somebody at that particular minute, some caught our attention, had us go in another direction, and prevented us from destruction.
Mm-hmm.
And that is nobody but God. And yeah, and we're and people that cross our paths, that's why we have to be nice and polite, because we don't know if we're entertaining an angel. And sometimes God will just put people in your path to help them, and by you just there, helps them to be able to trust in God and make a change in their lives, and you may never see them again. And that's why it's always important for us to plant that seed of love, so that they can see that this world is not as hateful as you think it is.
Amen. Amen. And so when you look at God's delivery, let's go to back to the word, chapter 12, Acts chapter 12. And look at verse 6. It says, the night before Herod was to bring him to trial, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers bound with two chains, and sentries stood guard at the entrance. So it's an impossible situation for him to be delivered. In man's eye, in Herod's eye, that Peter wasn't going anywhere. They were going to wait for the night to come, and then they were going to have this spectacle of a trial before the people and sentence him to be executed. So everybody was in their place according to man's plan. And verse 7, and this is the part that makes you want to holler, throw up both your hands. In the NIV, it says, suddenly. In the King James, it says, and behold, Lord have mercy. In other words, man thought he had a plan. Oh, my gosh. But God intervened on his behalf, on Peter's behalf. And just when you feel like throwing in the towel, you know what I'm saying? And throwing in the towel, for what people might not understand, is when you're in the boxing ring, And one opponent is beating the other opponent so badly that the corner's trainer throws in the towel to say, okay, that's enough, stop beating, we give up.
Mm-hmm.
And just when it was time for Peter to they were going to throw in the towel, it says suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared. The King James says, behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him. And what happens is, all that man meant for your bad, Lord have mercy, the plotting and the scheming and the backbiting and the lying and the deceit and the ignorance and the hatred, they thought it was going to win, Lord have mercy. But God has the ability to step in to your situation, Lord have mercy. And deliver like only he can deliver. And that's
right.
What makes people tell people, I don't know what you believe, and I don't know what you've heard, but I know God for myself, and I know what he can do. And not only do I know God for myself, and I know what he can do, I've seen what he can do. And when people have that type of faith and relationship with God, what happens is, You can't shake them. You can't get them to a place where they might get down some that time. They might feel weak sometimes, but you can't utterly destroy them, because they know God and they got a history with God, and they know that just when man is about to claim victory, Shilajit, I believe you said that last week or the week before last, you said late in the midnight hour, Lord have mercy. God's going to turn it around. It's going to work in your favor. And just when Peter was in a situation where he was bound by two chains between two sentries in the prison that was gated, God sent an angel suddenly, and behold, the angel appeared. Shield G.
Amen. Amen. That's what it said, late in the midnight hour. And you know, I was thinking about what you were saying, that as far as the hatred and backstabbing and everything's being thrown at you but the kitchen sink. But if you just hold on, hold out, trust in the Lord, he will deliver you. And I think, like you were talking about that situation when your car broke down, I think about the situation my job before the job that I have now, it was 2 years of persecution because of jealousy, of envy, and it was one of those things where you're trying to do the best you can, but it seemed like the people that were evil are getting over, and because you're doing the best you can, and God has blessed you and shown you favor, that all the negativity is being thrown your way, and had gotten so bad that I remember I lay prostrate in the bathroom floor, and I said, Satan, get your hands off of God's property. I belong to God. Uh-huh. Whatever happens, I've been at this job 13 years, but this job is not that's not my God. And my God is going to look out for me. So regardless of what happened, I'm not going to worry about it. And immediately in that night when I was praying and praying, that lifted the weight off of me. And for the next couple of months, even though I knew that by standing my ground and not succumbing to what they were trying to force me to do as far as persecuting other people and falling under the influence of man's way, and I stood for my character, I still had joy. And they were looking at me like I was crazy because they're like, we know you're being persecuted. You're coming up here with your team, smiling, laughing. I would purposely hold meetings in the middle of the aisle, and we would be laughing and joking, and we were under so much pressure so that when I did lose my job, I had a smile on my face, and the VP said to me, you know what? I wish I knew that you were going to. He's like, I've been up for the last 3 nights because I didn't know how you were going to take this, and I wish I knew back then that I would have been able to sleep. But you know what? Those last few nights, I was sleeping fine. He wasn't sleeping.
I know that's right.
He'd do something wrong. He was like those two soldiers that were up. I was like, I'm sleeping because I know God is going to deliver me. And he delivered me. And what man meant for bad, he turned it into so good. Mm-hmm. I would not be here where I am now, where it's 10 times better than it was before. But it wasn't until I said, you know what? I don't care about the evil, the hatred. I'm turning over to God. I'm not going to let it affect my attitude. I'm going to come in here and I'm going to show them the love of Christ. And they lost sleep, not me.
Amen. Amen. Dr. G?
Well, I was sitting here thinking, because I've been through it in the church. There have been times, you know, you doing the best that you can, and you believe that you're obeying God and you're trying to do what he says. And it's gotten to the point where, you know, I've said enough is enough, that no one should have to go through all of this just to lead a group of people because God says do it. And I was close to leaving, but the Lord said not so. And then he spoke to Kayla, and then she would come with all this. Now, I didn't want to hear all that. All I wanted to do was turn in my resignation, pack my little stuff out of my study, and go on about my business, because this was not what I signed up for. But when God gets in the midst of it, it doesn't matter what we as individuals. It's not about our desires or our wants. It's about us being obedient.
Amen. We're going to, we got some time. We're going to go to the phone lines. But just know that the way this ended was that God got the glory, and then the people that didn't trust God, the people that were part of this scheme, the guards that were there, you know, all of them got executed by Herod. Herod didn't care anything about them. He didn't care anything about them. And these people were following the wrong leader.
Yeah.
They were following the wrong people. And you have to continue to pray that people will understand, you know, that God is a loving God. He's a God that wants people to be able to experience him and to be able to love him and love each other the way he loved them. And realize that sometimes you got some people that are in power, that authority, are just pain in the butt. Don't care about anybody but themselves.
Yeah.
Like I said, I don't besmirch anybody for what they believe or what political party they're in or what religion or what faith they are. But if your faith and your political and religious association causes you to hate people,
right,
and to do things that are contrary to a loving God,
mm-hmm.
you need to think about making a change. You need
right.
to think about turning to God and learning to love people the way God loves people. And
Amen.
And it's critical to understand that love never fails, you know.
Right.
And Jesus said that all of the law rests on those two things, that you love God and you love your brother as you would love yourself.
Amen.
You know, that's what's missing back then. That's what's missing now. But the church has the ability to show love, the love of God, and watch God perform miracles in our lives. And so we're going to go to the phone line and just ask the question, amen, about the angels. Do you still believe that we entertain angels unaware? Do you believe that we still entertain angels without knowing it? So we have to have hospitality to people, be hospitable to people, because we never know who we're going to run into. So we're going to go to the first caller, last four digits, 1712. 1712, you're on the air.
Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Yeah, I definitely believe, you know, you have to be mindful of, well, let me back up. I've kind of learned and been taught that, you know, you should always treat people with respect, with kindness.
Yep.
I think the old rule is, you know, treat people the way that you'd want somebody to treat you. But I also believe, too, treat people the way that they want to be treated. I think sometimes we make it about ourselves and don't realize that what works for us may not work for others. But I think the secondary part to that is, like you said, you never know who's going to be your resource. You never know who's going to be there when you're going through something
mm-hmm.
to try to help you out, pull you along, help you avoid a stumble or avoid a storm. So I definitely believe in the way that the karma works about, you know, if you do bad to people,
right.
when you're in dire need or when you need something, you'll realize that those same people won't be there to help you out because you've burned some bridges, you've torched some relationships, and as a result, you now don't, you know, have someone that's able to look out for you to help you. But what you also realize too is that if you do cherish people, cherish those relationships, nourish those relationships and be respectful and kind to people, when you least expect it,
mm-hmm.
someone will be able to come to your aid. And it seems like God always works it out that when you're going through something, someone is always there, a friend or somebody you never expected to be able to have a resource or something to be able to help you out and be able to pull you through. And it always comes as a pleasant surprise, like, man, I didn't know you knew that person, or man, I didn't know you could fix a car,
mm-hmm.
or man,
mm-hmm.
I didn't know you could do this. But it's a realization that God, sometimes I think we only see the top layer of people dealing with people and, you know, interacting with people, but you never know, you know, how truly blessed you are until you realize that these friendships and these family members and these people that we keep close to us, there's so many levels to them and so many things that you don't realize that they can do and they're capable of helping you. And when they do it, it's all in love. It's all in genuine love
mm-hmm.
and genuine friendship. And the genuineness is there and you can feel it. And then it's reciprocal, because then we in turn also become angels to other people. You know, when people treat us well,
mm-hmm.
and sometimes I'll be the first to tell you, there were some people that I didn't want to do the
mm-hmm.
right thing for. I saw
mm-hmm.
somebody struggling and I knew, like, you know what, I can help them. But God, you're going to have to work with me, because I'm not going to sit here and lie to you guys. There were times where years ago people were in need and I knew I could help them out. And for selfish reasons, for petty reasons,
mm-hmm.
I let them go through it. I didn't want to help them out because I was in my feelings about a bad encounter or how they treated me.
Mm-hmm.
But as I've grown in the body of Christ, I realized, like, you know what? If me helping them can change that person, can make them be something else that I don't recognize because my encounter with them was so negative and so evil, why would I not want to help them out? Because sometimes that's what somebody needs to change and to turn their life
mm-hmm.
over to the Lord. So I've learned that, you know, in certain situations, I don't necessarily look at if you've been wrong, if you wronged me and I see you going through something, I'm going to wrong you. But God has now spoken to my heart and said, look, You know, that's still your brother. That's still your sister. You were once there. You were once right. lost and wandering in the wilderness, and somebody still came to your aid and helped you out, even though you may not have deserved it, even though you might have said some things about them. Someone still came to your aid, and that's something I struggle with. You know, I've definitely done a lot better with, but, you know, I think sometimes we act as judge and jury and decide who needs our help and who doesn't. But if we're Christians, if we're serious about this walk, God doesn't judge. Because I'm going to tell you now, God gets mad at us. God gets disappointed at us. Mm-hmm. But guess what? He continues to deliver us, does he not? God continues to bring us through the storm, even though if we look at it, we knew if people did half of what half of people did to us, if God did that, if we did that to God, we'd be like, man, nah, we like, nah, no way in the world. And sometimes we treat God worse than we treat our own enemies.
Amen.
We don't even realize it. So I'm like, you know what, if God can deliver me, and I know that I've fallen short of his grace on numerous occasions, who am I to say that somebody doesn't deserve my help because I'm mad or my feelings, especially if that help can carry that person and go a long way, much further than just that encounter, much further than just that incident. So I definitely believe that as long as you continue to put God first and you let God speak to your heart, you know, it doesn't matter if people have wronged it. You know, we need to be careful of the company we keep, and we need to be mindful that as long as God is in our life, he's going to inspire us and push us to try to help those out, even those people who are maybe on the other side of the fence. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you for your comment tonight. We're going to go to our next caller. Last four digits, 3343. You're on there.
Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
Yes.
Good evening.
Yes, I know that God always he shows me certain things. I just don't get everything in his book that comes out. But then I stop and sit down and think about it, and I hear everything that God has told me and did something for me. Now, NIV, I just don't read it, and I study King James. Now, two or three times when I was younger, I could lift 300 and 400 pounds, and it didn't bother me a bit. As you get older, your body leaves the strength from you. You think you're strong, but you're not as strong as you think you are. As you go along, there was four or five people that passed me up. I had a flat tire on the rear side of my car. And I naturally, you don't want to let nobody get close to you, think he's going to rob you or do something to you. And God sent me down and said, stop a minute. You can't get the tire off of there. And three or four people passed by me and said, can I help you, sir? No, don't think I can do it by myself. And three or four people and even a couple of white people stopped me and want to ask me to help me in my service. And no, thank you. Then God walked up beside me and said, the next time I send you something, let somebody help you to get that tire off you. You understand me? And I looked around and I said, yes, sir. And I did. Then the next time a kid came by there and his wife didn't come out, she told him, say, get out there and help that man with that car, that tire. He got out of the car and come over there and said, sir, can I help you? And I said, sure, I sure need the help, because I really did need help, because I couldn't get that tire off at one time. And when he helped me to get the tire off and everything, closed it down, he said, yes. Then God came and told me, said, did I tell you that? And I felt it in my heart so hard, my heart started thumping. And I felt it so hard, God had come and told me, said, if you let this boy pass one time, I'm not going to help you no more. And I didn't let that boy pass me. And it's so much... Because I needed that help more than anything. And sure did God come by and he sent angels to help you do things. You don't know how you are, but it's got to be with your heart. Got to be in your heart. You got to know God for yourself. That's
Amen.
All I can say for you. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. We're going to go to our next caller. Last four digits, 6309. 6309. You're on there.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Yes. Once God changes you and you go through and you get the closer and closer you get to him and you're serious about your walk with him, he changes you. He changes the way you think. He changes everything about you. And sometimes, you know, like the gentleman just said, you want to help, but you don't. You don't want to ask, like he said, you don't know whether they're going to rob you, whatever they're going to do. But once you get closer to God, you can see past some of that, because you know if God is trying to help you, especially if you out there by yourself, don't know where you are or something. And we just have to believe and trust in God. Once you believe and trust in God and really get into him, you can do a lot of things that you wouldn't do. And like Minister Brandon was saying, we all, I know I'm not going to say we all, I'm going to say me. I'm just going to talk about myself. Before God came into my life, seriously, I was something else. I was terrible, but I wasn't trying to be mean to people. It's just that I just didn't, you know, click in. But once you get into God and get that kind of love in you, you will do anything you can for anybody, you know.
Amen.
It changes you. Because and then you know you got children left here. Somebody going to have to help your children or your grandchildren. You know
That's
what I'm
true.
Saying? So
That's true.
You got to, you know, do what is right. That heart got to be right. See, once he changed that heart, it's good. Everything is good. You can deal with everything. You can handle everything. So I'm just thankful to him. I believe in and I trust in him, and I do believe in the angels because you don't know who you're talking to. So you just got to be changed. You got to be changed inside that you would do for someone else what you would ask somebody to do for you. So I just believe and trust in the Lord, and I know that if somebody come up to me, I'm going to do whatever I can to help them or whatever, because it's not for no brownie points or anything like that. That's just me. That's just what I want to do. It's coming from my heart. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. I'm going to go to our next caller. Last four digits, 5904. 5904, you're on the air.
Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I'm sitting here and I'm listening to all the comments. And one of the things that came to my mind was that I'm always trying to help others, but when I need the help, I kind of like don't ask or don't express that I need the help. But everyone knows that all they got to do is call me and I'm going to be there. But then there's times when I might need someone, not for anything monetarily wise, but just someone to talk to. They're never there. But they know they can always count on me to be there to listen and do for them. And sometimes I find that hard, but then again, when they need me, I'm right there again, helping them, regardless of how they help or how they were there to support me. And I always believe that when you do good, good will always follow you.
Amen.
And my mama would just say that never turn your back on anybody because you don't know who that person might be. And when you do that, there's always that doubt, should I have helped them or not? And then there was one incident where there was this young guy out there begging for money for food. And I said, well, you know, I'm not giving him no money, but I will buy him something to eat. So I told him, I said, I will buy you a meal, you know, and I said, if you come with me, you know, it was like four or five restaurants. So I took him to, he went to the one that he wanted. I didn't pick. I said, which one do you want? He chose. And I said, what do you want? I'll pay for it. And I walked out. Then about 2 or 3 months later, I saw the same guy. And people were offering him meals, you know, offered to buy him some. And he was telling people, oh, I don't want the food. I just want the money. And then I'm saying to myself, how can you be so ungrateful? You know, and maybe, you know, it's not so much as giving you the money and trusting that you would do what you say you would do because you can't guarantee that. But if they offer to feed you, you know, and you're telling them, oh, that's not good enough for me, then I question it. And I'm saying, but God, am I wrong for not giving him money? You know, and then I started not doubting myself, but then I'm saying, but if he's hungry and I'm trying to help him and he doesn't want it, then will that count against me, you know? And then I walk away. And if I see people, I say, look, I said, that guy right there, I said, And maybe I'm wrong for that, but I tell the people, I said, people have came before you to offer to give him food, and he turned it down and told them that he wanted their money and not their food. And I said, I wouldn't waste my time behind the ministry. And maybe that was being a little hateful on my part, but I couldn't see those people trying to do something that's sincerely a good deed, and then he's turned around and using it for something bad. And so I have to say, then I think about it, and I say, well, God, you know what? If I'm wrong, I ask you to forgive me, but I'm not going to stand by and let people be used by him like that. So one of the things that I keep telling myself, I say, no matter what I do, if I do something for a person and they use it for the wrong reason, then God will deal with them when the time. In other words, I'm doing what God wants me to do, which is to feed the hungry.
Amen.
And if I feed you, whether it's food or monetary, and you use it for something else, then I can't, all I can do is just say, well, God, whatever they may do, you will handle them when the time is right. It's not my place to tell them, don't spend it on this and don't spend it on that. Because if you ask, I give, the choices you make is what you have to live with. So still got to work on that.
Amen.
And not be so judgmental about how my help is given, and I'm worried about how they're going to use it to benefit them and not do something that will cause them more harm and keep them in the predicament that they're in.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you for your comment tonight. We're going to go to our next caller. Last four digits, 1741. 1741, you're on the air.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Truly, God has blessed me, and I do believe in angels, and I know God has sent his angels with me, and I just thank God for it. And the other thing is what I come to find out, that a lot of times people that bless us are not always the people that we might think they should be. We have to be very careful because we don't know who is God's chosen person. And the person that sometimes might look at least is the person that God has chosen for that particular day or for that particular time to be your angel and to be your protector. Mm-hmm. So we have to be very careful what we say and how we treat people. And so I just thank God, working and riding public transportation so many years, I've had so many experiences where I knew it was only God who made a way. It was only God that had sent certain people in my life to help me in time of need, and then he sent me to people to help them in time of need. And I had some very strange incidents, and some of them I just pondered in my heart, you know. Some people I had a chance to thank, some people I didn't. Sometimes you wish you know, would see them again, but sometimes that's the way it is. That's the way God works. But I know that God will bless them for the things that they do. And so I'm so grateful today. And it's only through the power of prayer. And I just want to share, this morning we had, I was on another church line that had, they have a prayer line. And the speaker talked from Proverbs 3:5-6. And she talked about knowing the character of God. And also one of the things she shared about the part where it said, in all your ways acknowledge him, and God will direct your path. And whenever I pray, I always say that, Lord, please direct my path. And I say, Holy Spirit, please direct my path. But the thing is, in all your ways, in everything that we do, we have to pray and ask God, acknowledge him. And when he start acknowledging us, when we start acknowledging him and asking him to direct our footsteps, and that's why it's so vital that we pray to him daily and have that fellowship and communication with him, because we never know what we're going to encounter that day. But God knows what we're going to encounter. So when we ask God to, when we acknowledge him, we ask God to direct our footsteps, God will lead us to the people that he wants us to go to, and he will lead people into our paths. And sometimes, are we ready to for the people that come in our paths? Sometimes I'm not, to be perfectly honest with you. But, you know, sometimes people come to us at a time, we say, gee, you know, this is not good. They didn't catch me at the right time. But the Lord is working with me. We all got some things wrong with us, you know. But it still goes to, you still have to acknowledge God to direct your footsteps. And when you ask him to do that, don't be surprised where he's going to take you and what he's going to let you do.
Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. We're going to go to the next caller. Last four digits, 9753. You on there? You're on air. Must be listening in. We're going to go to our next caller. Last four digits, 7971. 7971, you're on air.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
This is a good subject because with me, I was raised in a family of love, and we were a pastor always doing things for people and sharing and doing and sharing and doing, and it's in our spirit. And growing up as a child, then I left home, and it never left me. It's just a part of my life to help somebody else or give somebody something, just love one another. I could think of a thousand things that has happened to me in my life, and God just sent an angel. I remember when I first came here to live, and I was in Learners on 14th Street, and somehow somebody pickpocketed me. I'd just gotten paid. It was on a Friday, and I didn't have no money, no nothing. And a friend, my classmate, I walked out on 14th Street, and there he stood. And home, and somebody said, Viray, you say, Viray, I know you from West Virginia. And he said, Viray, what you doing up here? And I said, Jack, where did you come from? He said, I was just up here walking around. I said, Jack, somebody just stole my pocket with all my money. I don't have a dime. He said, don't worry about it. I got some money. He gave me a cab fare and gave me money to last me for the rest of the week. That's just one instance of how the life you live and the things that people will do for you. And I've always been able to pass it on. And I think I'm going to reflect back to our church. Our church. That's why I love it so. We started out zero. With pastor's money. Not our money, but pastor's money. We got, after we went into the school, we left the school. We got the 80 Ritchie Road, a dirt box hole. We still have Sunday. Pastor had to go get a sign. Didn't have a ladder, so he came to the house and got the ladder, and him and Anthony put the sign up. Then we looked around, and we said, Lord, we ain't got nothing but these dirty chairs because the man had lied to us. We got in there. We cleaned it up. But then we had no pulpit stuff, no rugs, no nothing. I went to Home Depot, got the rugs, came in my house. You know I love that boy. I said, not. Ethan Allen chairs.
Mm-hmm.
We had pulpit. We had, I don't know where Pastor got that pulpit from. I took my, I got all kinds of scarves and things. Put it on the podium. Mother Strickland and I, and Mona, Sister Juanita, we worked like Trojan dogs for our Heavenly Father. But I tell you what, when we finished, you wouldn't have known that we went through what we went through. But the love of God and the love that was in our heart, we turned that place into a beautiful sanctuary.
Amen.
For the Lord. And that's why when you do things for the Lord, and I reflect back that my parents, I always reflect back to that. They did not have half, not a third, not a fourth of what I have had in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And nothing is too good to help somebody.
That's right.
To help somebody. I don't care. I think one of the biggest decisions that I had to make here lately was when I had to refuse to tell your father that I couldn't cook for him. And I couldn't because I was still recuperating from my situation. We had going to tennis and all of that, and he was going to need food every day. And that was not my car. It was Becky's car. And I told him I couldn't.
Mm-hmm.
As a whole, getting back to Heart of God Baptist Church, we have fed folk. We have clothed folk. We have given money to folk. We have done everything that God says we are supposed to do as Christians and ask no questions. Ask no question. One instance, we had a number. She had nowhere to go. And it hit me. This woman don't have nowhere to go. She's homeless. I got a basement over there with nothing in it. Nobody in it. And I let her come here. I waited on April and treated her, gave her my bedroom and treated her like she was mine. But that's what God does for you.
Amen.
My church, my pastor, the members of our church are faithful. And I told Pastor when I came there, I'll be here. The God's to what it takes. It's nobody but me and you.
Amen.
We still have a church. And God has blessed us to still be here together. And have church at home, and just it's just things that you know that it's God that does these things.
Amen.
We ourselves, because He's been mighty good to me. When I left my father's house, nothing but blessings have been bestowed to me in my lifetime. I don't brag about it. I don't talk about it. But I share what I have with anybody and everybody. My phone rings 24/7. My sister Jill said, "Don't ever get tired." I said, "Tired of what?" This is what we're all about, God's children. God's children loving one another, helping one another. And I thank God for it. I thank God I was able to be head of the union at Department of Justice, the most prejudiced agency in the world. But I was like my dad. I carried a big stick. And I worked it with love, with prayer. Little old me. Little old me. But God was in my heart. So many things. And thank Him for. And thank God for delivering me from other churches that I thought was where I was supposed to be. But when he brought me out and placed me where he wanted me to be, you couldn't ask for anything more. And my dear friend, she told me, she said, Vi, she said, don't worry about a small church. She said, I've been in a small church ever since I've been in Washington. I have no regrets. She said, because your church and my church have done more people than some of these big churches.
Amen.
They're about money and what they can get. And they're about God, who loves us and supplies all of our needs according to his riches. She said, you all going to be all right. And we are all right. We are all right. Because our trust and belief is in God and not in man. And we love them all, but it's a task. And you can't deviate from it. You can't let anybody come in between the love of God. The love of God. And I thank you all for your teaching, because you all keep us lifted up.
Amen.
And I mean,
amen. Bless you.
But I'm still alive, and I thank God for you all. You all be blessed. He's a blessing to me.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. Sheila G., you want to have a final comment and close us out in prayer?
Amen. I just thank the Lord for us entertaining, have the love in our heart to entertain those that may or may not be less fortunate than we are, but recognizing that we just have to continue to show love to one another and not hate. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you once again for this lesson, Lord. I pray that we would just learn from it, that we have to pray earnestly at all times, put our trust in you, and show love and not hate. In your precious name we do pray. Amen.
Amen. All right, that's going to do it for us tonight. Prayerfully, we'll see and hear from you again on next Thursday night. Good night.
Good night.